You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
This time we're concluding this period today called the Hayomim Noraim, the Days of Awe. And the greeting today, besides Yom Tov, that you can say is Gemar Chatima Tova. Want to try that? Gemar? I think I have a slide for that, Gabby. Let's see. Go backwards. There it is. Yeah. Okay. Gemar. Chatima. Tova. Okay. May God's final seal be good. The greeting between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is still good today. There's a few others, but that's one you can. And I'm going to just mention, turn to the book of Jonah for just a few minutes. Let's just look at that book. Father, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word. Open our eyes. Speak to us through your word by your spirit in just these thoughts, a few thoughts right now. I'll be speaking on it more tonight, but amazing. Love this book, Book of Jonah. And yeah, so the Book of Jonah included in the 12, what's called the 12 among the prophetic books. Christians know that as the minor prophets, but in Jewish life it's called, those 12 or minor prophets or shorter books are called the 12. And unlike other books, it's a narrative. And how ironic that Jonah is seen in contrast with the sailors and the Ninevites, the Assyrians, in that he's in rebellion towards the God of Israel as a Jew, and they're responsive to the God of Israel as Gentiles. It's really ironic in the book. And I think that's an interesting thought in itself, that sometimes Jews are tougher than Gentiles to reach, I'm talking about, with the good news for God. It's very true, and I won't go into it, but, and I'm Jewish, so I can say it, so without sounding anti-Semitic or something, but we are a tough people to reach, and God's had a tough time with us, and yet he's never given up with us, thank God. But it's true, you know, five Jews, six opinions. You know, it's in a circle, you know, sometimes people see Jews arguing and say, you know, oh, they're really upset with each other, and it's just part of the culture. if you lack a sense of humor, read the story of Jonah. Read this book. If you're judgmental of others and critical, read this book. If you're self-righteous and can't forgive, read this book of Jonah. And if you find yourself fighting against doing the will of God and submitting to his call, his mission in your life, read the story of Jonah. Books traditionally read on the afternoon service of Yom Kippur. Today was Yom Kippur, primarily because of its theme of repentance. And nothing is really known of Jonah's background except that he might be the same person spoken of in 2 Kings 14:25. The same name, Jonah, prophesied in the days of Jeroboam II, king of Israel. If so, he prophesied regarding the restoration of Israel of previously lost territory and also possibly Jerusalem of her destruction for her sins, a prophecy that was actually annulled because they repented. And however, because of the people, that's all. The book seems to be to open in the middle of the story, so to speak, as the phrase, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, typically occurs later in other prophetic books. So Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the largest city of its day, and Israel's bitterest enemy. Assyria conquered Samaria, 722 BCE, was later destroyed by the Babylonians in 612. And they were a cruel and savage people, but it's not clear at what point in history that they were so to Israel itself. So it opens with, and came the word of the Lord, Vehi Devar Adonai El Yonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Devar, let's say Devar. That's the, you can see it down, that's like a word, second line. It's the spoken word. I think Pastor Wurmbrand, Richard Wurmbrand, used to call it the real thing, davar. It's the real thing. It's the word. It's one way of really giving its meaning. It's to medaber is to speak in Hebrew. Now you say ani medaber ivrit, I speak Hebrew. Davar to speak, but it's God speaking here, and he says, rise up. First thing he says, rise, go to the great city of Nineveh and call out to her, and that's really the way this translates it right here in the Tree of Life, to her, for their evil has risen before me. So he says, rise, and then call upon her, kum, let's say the word kum. Okay, kum is to rise, and to get up, basically he says, get up. And the word kara, let's say kara, I think I have it on the next one. No, I don't. Back it up. Sorry. Okay. No, back it up. Back it up one more, maybe. No? Okay. Didn't put it. No. Sorry. No. Getting way ahead of me. Okay. Kara. And I probably won't get there till tonight. I won't. But kara, I thought I wrote it down, but kara means, kara is the word, it means to summon. Yeah, here it rise and call or cry out, but it really means summon, to cause change in direction. To cause change in direction. God's saying, cause a change in direction, Jonah, to the people of Nineveh. Call, proclaim, read. In other words, summon Nineveh to a change in direction. Call out to her, call upon her, for her their evil has risen before me. It's ascended before me in verse 2. That's the way it would read. Jonah's call was not yet to proclaim Nineveh's impending destruction, if you'll notice, but to utter a reproof for now, to exhort them to repent. But nothing God says is about telling them of their judgment or punishment. So that Jonah added that, but that wasn't there. You know, yet 40 days, none of it is going to be overthrown. God didn't tell him it. Look at verse 3. It says, and Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. All right? Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. This was westward rather than northeast. All right? So he's going in the opposite direction from Nineveh. And it says, Milifne Adonai, from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, from the panim, pana is face, faces, panim is faces of the Lord. And so he says, the word flee, barach, let's say barach, that's the word in the corner there, the word flee means to move out quickly. And it means, listen to this, this word means, when Jonas fled to Tarshish, fled from the presence of the Lord, it means to become independent. To become independent. To bolt out, but to become independent. So he bolted from God's nearness, from God's presence, in a desire to be independent from God, if you think about it. And which was actually Adam's sin in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. That was, I think I got that thought years ago, reading Oswald Chambers, and that the sin in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden, was independence from God. They chose to be independent from God, and this is in eating of fruit. And this is what he's doing, the original sin, the first act, the first sin, acting independently from God. And so, obviously, it was all over, right? Well, no, thank God. In creation, after Adam and Eve sinned, God went to plan B, so to speak. And Rabbi Tzvi Nightingale in South Florida, from Aish, he had a beautiful devotional on that I just saw recently. And he called it God's plan B, and I like that. So if you are in plan B in your life, don't feel so bad. In other words, God, we say, life is not work. And for us as believers, life isn't simply a string of us responding to God and always doing what he said and perfect obedience. Now, it is with our children, right? Well, it's not with God's children either, which we are, right? We learn not just through our righteous acts, through our steps of obedience, but we also learn through our steps of disobedience, don't we? And aren't we glad that God goes to a plan B? That God says, well, you know, if you want to call it that, that God says, I know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Yes, we love God. But loving God doesn't mean we always make the right choices. And the scriptures are filled with men and women who made bad choices at times, but then turned to God eventually, you know, turn to God and let Him work it together for good, coordinate it for good, orchestrate it for the good. And aren't you glad God does that in your life? In my life, I believe He does. And will we believe that for people that we love? Will we believe that for our children? Will we believe that for our brothers and sisters, for our parents? Will we believe that for our friends? Will we believe that God will work together for good and will claim the Word of God, will stand on the Word of God? And this is what, so Jonah is called to do this, but he does the opposite, goes in the opposite direction. And why didn't he just stay where he was rather than bolt to a port and to go to the opposite direction? Jaffa, or Jaffo today, is of course still a port city today. How many have been to Jaffo? See, a lot of people. Okay, we always go there on our in any Israel trip. And actually, I loved it our last one, and we'll do it again. We stayed a little more time in Tel Aviv, which is, you know, the happening. I mean, you got to spend some time in Tel Aviv. And but it's right there, still there, and it's also where Peter had his vision, which I'll talk about tonight, mention it tonight. So he went down to the port city, and then he went in the opposite direction. He went down, it says, Yarad, he went down to the port, went down to the ship, he went down in the hold, just the lower part of the ship, and then he's just going down to the depths of the sea. And the Lord hurled a wind in verse 4. He threw or cast, the word tul, a ruach gedolah, a great wind, and then sa'ar gadol, a great storm. And he try, you know, God is in control, the forceful wind, it says here. And where can we go? Where can I go from God's, from your ruach? Where can I flee from your presence, your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there too. If I take the wings of the dawn, settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand lay hold of me. Psalm, what psalm is that? Right, 139, in Psalm 139, a great psalm to read. I'm going to just skip down to a few parts here, but to in chapter 1. But the sailors are praying in verses 5 through 7. They're crying out to their gods and throwing off cargo, and Jonah is sleeping. Well, why should he pray? He knew he was in rebellion against God, right? He knew he was, and he knew the storm. Well, he was sleeping until the storm, but then when he woke up, he knew the storm was his fault. He knew God, and so they're crying out to the gods, and he's just kind of like, no, no point, you know, praying because I'm running. And I love it in verses 8 and 9, and I'll probably just finish with that, with these couple verses here, because this is one thing that stands out to me. They said to him, tell us now. So they cast lots. In other words, they probably cast lots several times, and it kept landing on Jonah. And so they said, tell us now, on whose account is this evil happening to us? What is your profession, and where do you come from? What is your land, and from what nation are you? All right? What's your work? The Hebrew reads, what's your work? Where are you from? What's your land? And from what people are you? In other words, what do you do? Where are you from? What do you own? And who are you joined to? Your people. Who are you joined to? And look at his answer, verse 9. He said to them, Ivri Anochi. I, a Hebrew, am I. I'm a Hebrew. And then he says, and I fear Adonai, God of the heavens, who made the sea that we're in right now, that is storming and raging. God made it, and the dry ground. Adonai Elohei Hashemayim Ani Yare. I fear him. What an answer to their question. I'm an Ivri. This was the title used for Jews when they were referred to in contrast to Gentiles. Genesis 40, 15. God is the God of the Ivrim. Exodus, the Hebrews. Exodus 3, 18. In his command to Moses to visit Pharaoh. After the tribe of Judah remained the principal branch of the nation, the term Yehudi for Jew became common. So let's say Ivri. And I don't have it up there, but let's say a Yehudi. That's Hebrew or Jew. And Ever, let's say Ever, that's the root. Let's mention that. So in a minute. But the Jew, the word Yehudi is from Yehuda, and I think it's beautiful, meaning it can mean God in a sinner. It can mean a praise to God. It has to do with also the using the hand, like praise to God. But Abraham here, Abraham is referred to in Genesis 14, 13 as the Ivri. Hebrew. Ever, let's say Ever one more time, Ever, it means the other side, probably from the other side of the river Euphrates. The whole world was on one side while Abraham was on the other side. Only he served the true God while the others all practiced idolatry. This is how Jonah refers to himself when he said, who are you? Where are you from? What's your line of work? What do you do? Who is your people? I'm a Hebrew and I fear God. I fear the living God. How do we stand in contrast to the world? We don't eat bacon. No. I have someone who always kids me about that. He always he always makes pig jokes because he's trying to say, oh, you aren't he. So that's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. I don't, but think about it. You know, I had someone in a pickleball group, a young guy, he's like 30 or so, and he's got a girlfriend, he's not married, and he says he's going to a burlesque show tonight. He says, yeah, my girlfriend likes burlesque shows. Now, I don't know what they are. I think that's bad, isn't it? I think so, yeah, I think so. But he has no conscience of it. He's not a believer, and just says, yeah, we're going. How do we stand in contrast to the world? Well, more importantly is inner life, but outer life is important too. We don't cheat in business or competition just because others do. We don't return evil for evil and get revenge. We don't criticize and judge others. We're on the other side. We're Ivrim. We're on the other side, all of us as believers. I'm not saying just Jewish if you're Jewish. I'm talking about those who name the name of Yeshua, those who are believers. We're not arrogant, but we're honorable. We don't have to be nasty when someone does something, but we can show honor and respect. And Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, right? We're different. We're different. We're different. My primary identity, my self-identity, is one who has been created by God for a purpose. This is what Jonah's saying. I have a purpose. I belong to God. And the Lord God, he's my focus. I'm from the other side. I'm a new creation. I have a new life. And the old has passed away, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, John 5:24, we've passed from death to life. I am not my own. I was bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Who are you this morning? Who are you? What are you all about? What's your answer to this question that Jonah's asked in a crisis even? You are a separated one, a child of your Father in the heavens. If you're a believer, you're a servant of the Most High, as Daniel would use that phraseology. A follower of the one true God, not like the world, not like the world of Christians many times, who name the name of Yeshua but live just like everybody else. And because we're in the Bible Belt, the buckle in the Bible Belt, and so it's cooler maybe or it's more acceptable to say I'm a Christian. Than to say I'm not. It's just the opposite where I grew up, you know. But it's like that. So many times it's not authentic, and many times it is. But how are we different? How are we different? Not like the mediocrity around us, or the lukewarmness Yeshua speaks about in Revelation. Different than the world of the lost. I love this verse, Acts 27:23. Paul stood up in the midst of a storm at sea also. He's on the boat in a storm at sea, and I love this, and he says, in the midst of the storm, he says, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. The God to whom I belong and whom I serve. John says it this way, 1 John 2:15-17. He says, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. World in contrast to the Father, our Father. He says, for everything in the world, the desire of the flesh, it's the strong desire, it means the strong desire of the flesh, the desire, strong desire of the eyes, and the boasting of life, the boastful arrogance of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its strong desire. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. I am a Hebrew. Ivri Anochi, a Hebrew am I. And the Lord, God of the heavens, is the one I fear, the one who made. That's my identity. This one, that's your identity. You belong to Yeshua. You belong to the living God. You are a follower of Yeshua. You are different. And we don't have to be. We are different. And thank God, even if we make the kind of mistakes Jonah did, and we'll see what happens later if you're able to come this evening. We'll see. It's amazing what God, and there's a comparison between him and Elijah that I see. It's amazing in what happens in the depression, the suicidal tendency he even has, the depression, and how God deals with him. The question that God asks both he, Jonah, and Elijah is amazing. What he says to him really in the real original language, and how God deals with him. God can turn things around. And God, but he doesn't baby us. He can turn things around. And who we are is so important. You have an eternal purpose. Ephesians 3:11. You have a mission. You have God has selected you, and you can run from it, but you'll only end up kind of smelly, you know, in a fish stomach, you know. And Father, we just thank you.